Welcome to Living with Moxie, where Shefali Burns and Donna Martouche, authors, entrepreneurs, and leaders in the world of business, education, and coaching, share ideas, resources, and strategies from the hosts and their guests to provide you with the leverage you require to meet and exceed your business and personal goals. Join us for unique insights from outstanding achievers in business, relationships, health, finances, and living as they share strategies, wisdom, and lessons learned on the path to extraordinary living. Are you ready to live with Moxie?
Hi, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
So happy to be here with you today. We're very excited about today's show. How are you today, Shefali?
I'm fantastic, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Very appreciative of that today. Happens to be a phenomenal day. Thank you for asking.
Good. Yay.
That. Yeah. So today we're talking about something that it was a conversation that actually threaded throughout my day, and I'm not surprised, I guess, now that I'm thinking about what we're talking about today, but it was really about learning or living. But how did we phrase that again? I'm so sorry because I just lost it. I was thinking about this morning's conversation. It was
We're talking about life lessons and what to do with them.
That was okay. So life lessons. So in my head, I was thinking I had the word mistake screaming out, and I couldn't come up with life lessons. Like it just blocked out of my brain. But but we were talking about that all day today, and it didn't even click in my brain that that is where we were tonight. So it's not a surprise because very often when we're doing a show, information about the topic starts flowing, you know, always like about a few days before or all the way through. And then today it was just all day long. So life lessons and what do you do with them? I love that topic. Do you want to start or would you like me to?
Well, you know, I was thinking about this topic too, about life lessons and what do they actually mean? And, you know, it's like, well, it sounds pretty heavy, you know, lessons, right? As if we're in school. And I was going back in my mind, thinking of different events and situations in my life and the lessons that I learned. And sometimes what happened was, you know, I was aware of certain situations, but I didn't follow up with my intuition, with my knowing. I was doing what everybody else wanted. And so hence certain things resulted. And so for me, life lessons in general has to do with where I have not really been true to myself. I haven't followed my knowing, my intuition, my own guidance, and I have put my interests in the backseat to others. So that is a life lesson key for me overall. But life lessons, it's about, you know, certain situations in your life where something has changed, you know, or you became aware of something. Sometimes it can be significant. But sometimes they don't have to be. And I was, you know, it's interesting how we pick these topics weeks ago. And then, you know, when the time comes to actually talk about it, what actually comes up in our minds, right? What is relevant and what seems significant now as opposed to then or then as opposed to now. It's such an interesting topic. I'm so glad we're talking about it, Donna.
Yeah, one of the things that I am too. I think that one of the things I often hear people say, especially people in this community, particularly, like, I'm in education and I'm in this, you know, the spiritual world as far as that goes. And both are fields where they very often talk about you live and you learn. You live and you learn. Well, what did you learn from it? And then there's other phrases that come, you know, that are connected to those, like mistakes or hindsight is 20/20 or, you know, these things that almost where there's a judgment involved in to a large extent, sometimes when people are going through these life lessons, I could have done it better. I should have done it different. So and I've mentioned that because we've been talking about judgment. It pops up in quite a few of our shows, and that's one of the things that comes up for me pretty strong when we talk about life lessons. But the other is sort of, what if it isn't about a lesson? Like, what if it's really more about reaching for more or gaining awareness on how to do things even better than you did yesterday? So someone in my head, it's almost like I have my ancestors laughing at me right now. Well, you know, I can hear them sometimes as sometimes when I'm doing calls, I get a lot of downloads and information from people who have passed or from psychic information as far as that goes. It's an interesting way to do a conversation. But and somebody was saying to me, somebody was saying to me, yeah, that's sort of, so what if it's about gaining the awareness and what if it's about saying I can do it better? And somebody was just going, isn't that the same thing? You know, what makes that different? Mm-hmm. And not in a taunting way, but in a way of sort of like, okay, come on, you got to get more clear than that. Because what's the difference between an experience that you're gaining awareness so that you could do something better and I've learned something through a situation that occurred? And I think that the difference is one is viewed as an awareness that you're grateful for, and one is viewed as something that sometimes is often associated with shame, frustration, guilt, and judgment. Right? What do you think?
And you know, it's interesting because I was thinking the exact same thing when I was thinking about life lessons. It's about, you know, certain situations that we are judging and also that others are judging. And, you know, most of it, though, it's just to... I was thinking also about what is the purpose of these lessons, right? These events and situations. And I was thinking, you know, it's about being more aware of what's going on. And sometimes the lesson, that is the only lesson in there, is so that we can become more aware. And that is a gift in itself. But I mean, the judgment piece, it seems to weave itself in almost everything that we do. And you know, we tend to judge certain situations and events as lessons in a negative connotation, right? In that judging way, but instead of as the gift that it truly is and was, because it's brought us to, you know, really where we are now. So I try to not use the word lessons per se, but, you know, I definitely like awareness better. It's given, you know, certain situations have given me more awareness of myself, of my thinking processes, of how I was feeling at the time, you know, and, you know, where my mind was, you know, what my thoughts were, where was I, you know, in that time period. And, you know, so for me, they're all a gift. They've all been a blessing. But sometimes, you know, it's like, really, do we really need any more lessons? You know, it's like, what more do we need to learn? All right. So sometimes we get tired, right, of those life lessons. But it's just a matter of looking at it from a different lens, a different point of view, and seeing it more as a gift and appreciating how what they were, because then we can go back at them, looking at them and learn even more again, you know, not just, you know, in that time period. But now I can go back and look at something that happened 25 years ago and really see the gift and blessing that it was. And that enriches my life now even more. Right.
Yeah, so here's the interesting thing, and, you know, for everyone listening, when you're listening, whether you're listening now or you listen during the replay, it doesn't matter, but take out a piece of paper. I always encourage you to take out paper because some things are going to come to your mind, and you're going to want to write them down. Even if you start jotting down notes or questions during the break, you can call in or email them in or whatever that may be. But this morning I was stuck in traffic. You know, what is normally about an 8-minute ride from here to my office was approximately a 45-minute ride because there was a truck on a roadway that doesn't belong on that particular roadway, and there's these overpasses that don't even go up 10 feet. So it's one of those stories where the truck gets stuck under a bridge, you know, and then there's like 10 people staring at the truck trying to figure out how to get it down, and here's me going, all right, well, I left so I can be here by, you know, a specific time, and I intentionally left an hour early, even though it only takes me 8 minutes because I get a little anal like that. But good thing I did, because it took me an hour or so to get to work. With that aside, during that time, what I wound up listening to was I was flicking through some information, and I was then listening to something related to the law of attraction. And I hear Abraham Hicks on that at a particular moment in time. And Abraham was literally saying, the truth is we get very frustrated when we're in contrast. And for me, when I think of life lessons, I'm thinking of contrast. Like, it's a moment in your life when you're struggling with something, you're trying to get through something, or you see yourself as needing to get through something or from point A to point B, whether that have been in a difficult relationship, a difficult breakup, a financial situation, a job situation, it doesn't make a difference. It's contrast. It's not where you want to be. It's uncomfortable. It's not something that you're finding easy to shift and change. And one of the things that she then said was, if it weren't for the contrast, we wouldn't have desires. We wouldn't gain the awareness to know how, we wouldn't have the clarity to know what it is that we truly, 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 truly want to have in our lives. So there's such a gift in the contrast. And if we could stop actually getting so frustrated with being there or angry or mad or whatever that is when you're sitting in it, and we can shift that, which is a very hard thing to do, especially if you don't have practice at it, to appreciation and gratitude for the gift that it is going to be and what it's creating for your life and living from this point forward, you'd actually get through it with a lot more ease and a lot faster, because we tend to not notice the gift, and hence the words hindsight is 20/20, until after we've gotten to some other point that we've decided is better than where we are now. And usually when we get there, we're already looking at what the next step is, because that isn't quite what we were looking for, right? So
absolutely, yeah.
So that's what I was thinking of when I was thinking of life lessons. So here's this contrast that we have, and we are going to gain awareness from it. We're going to gain clarity on what it is that we truly would love to create. We're going to, we've gotten very clear, if we're in this contrast, of what we do not would, don't want to have in our lives, right? And it becomes sort of like this mold of what we're creating in the future. But it's in the process been referred to as life lessons, and life lessons just feels like it has this negative tone when I hear it, you know, that way. I don't know if you feel that way when you hear it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like it feels very heavy, very negative, and I don't want to do it. I'm one of those rebels, like, oh, no, I don't want to do that. Instead,
because we've told ourselves it has to be hard. We're going to go on break.
Exactly.
In a minute. we've told ourselves that a life lesson is going to be hard. It's going to be a struggle. It's going to be... So as we're getting ready for our messages, if you really, you know, take a moment to reflect, and we'll be back with you right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Spiritual, metaphysical, green living, psychic, alternative healing, life coaching. Do any of these or similar terms apply to your business or cause? If so, you are in a niche market with a very specific audience. Conscious Gate PR is the world's leading conscious public relations agency. With a global reach of over 4 million and growing, we offer comprehensive media campaigns to our targeted market. Learn more at ConsciousGatesPR.com. Conscious marketing for conscious minds.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
There is no death, only a change of worlds. Chief Seattle. Deborah Livingston is an award-winning intuitive psychic medium whose international services include mediumship, spiritual assessment, animal communication, and spiritual mentoring. She is a published author and a trained shaman. Deborah provides evidential messages from spirit and departed loved ones. Learn more at devlivmedium.com. That's D-E-B-L-I-V medium.com.
I left my heart in San Francisco.
Hi, this is Tony Bennett, and I'm a volunteer for LifeBeat. The music industry fights AIDS. We all know that there are some new medications for people with AIDS, but there is still no cure. This is why I personally volunteer for LifeBeat. The AIDS crisis is not over, and people need help. Volunteer for your local AIDS organization. They need you.
Hello, everyone. We are back here on Living with Moxie on OM Times Radio. I'm your host, Shefali Burns, and my co-host, Donna Martouge, is here with us as well. And we were talking about life lessons and what to do with them. So, you know, what to do with them, meaning when you're in the middle of one, what are you doing, right? So I was thinking, you know, we don't always do this, but I think it would be good if we could, that when we're in the middle of a life lesson or some sort of event situation that is, you know, perhaps challenging in the moment, what can we do to get have more ease with that, right? So the first thing is to become an observer. It's not always easy to get ourselves emotionally and mentally out of the way, right? But can we become an observer? Just see what's going on, observe what's going on with a little bit of detachment. Not always easy, but it's about, you know, getting out of your head, getting out of the, you know, frustration energy and so on, and just seeing what is the big picture here, what is really going on. And, you know, that's all, you know, I always say easier said than done sometimes. But if you can, it gives you a, you know, like I said, a bigger picture view, and you become more of a non-judgmental observer and see things in a totally different way without attachment, without, you know, being attached to the result or the outcome. You know, that's one thing that we can definitely do. But also, you know, my biggest tool in my toolbox is gratitude, right? So in those moments, and sometimes those moments can be like a month, right? But if you can be grateful for something in your life, even though you're going through a challenging situation, going through a life lesson of some sort, can you still be grateful for the little things? You know, can you still see what's important to you? Do you, you know, are you tapping into what you truly desire and what you truly want for your life? Can you do that still? Or are you too attached to the event or situation that you're in? So, you know, gratitude is a huge, you know, tool in my toolbox, as I know it is in Donna's as well. And that is going to help you long term, you know, forever. And it always does. It's always so expansive and beautiful. And it really shows you what is truly important to you, what really is worthwhile to you. So, Donna, what do you think about being the observer and being in gratitude?
I love that. I mean, that's being the observer is easy for me. I don't know if it's easy for everyone. And I can also tell you that having been someone who's done that, I think I want to say sometimes somewhat naturally, other people have commented on how detached I sometimes seem from a situation or from circumstances. And it's not really a detachment. It's sort of a conscious, I don't want to say separation, but it feels like that's the right word, separation of sort of, all right, well, let me just step outside of myself literally and look at this from the outside and say, you know, observing the situation, what's the gift here for me? Where's the awareness? What's the information? What questions can I ask? And what I can say is, like, you know, so when I look through my life lessons, and I've had plenty, as many of us have, the ones that I've struggled the most with are the ones where I had such resistance to being in them in the first place. Like, it was just, not that you're ever happy about being in that type of situation, but ones where you're just determined to make the outcome of a situation be a very specific way, look a very specific mm-hmm. way, whether it's holding on to a marriage because you don't believe in divorce. Like, I didn't believe in divorce. I wound up being divorced, and it was something that I surprisingly wound up initiating in my life, but I had to do quite a bit of soul searching in order to do that. But for a long time, you hold on to the idea of what you've decided it should look like, it should be like, it should feel like, you know. And I see that happen in lots of situations with relationships that sometimes, I don't want to say last longer than they should, but they last longer mm-hmm. than they should, because we have two mm-hmm. people who are so focused on what they've decided it should be like. And they try so hard to force each other to be something that they're not until finally they're so far away from who they truly are that they just wind up not even being able to speak to each other anymore. You know, like, it gets to such an extreme. And it lasts longer because the more you stay focused on trying to force something to be the way that you would like it to be, the longer you stay in the stuck part of the lesson. Mm. That's just been my experience, right?
Yep. And, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, I had the same situation. You know, I mean, You know, for me, when I got divorced, you know, it took a long, long time because I had kids and I didn't want to disrupt their lives. So that was my big thing. It's like, I didn't want to disrupt their lives. So we stayed married longer, or, you know, I stayed married longer. But in hindsight, of course, right, it's like, wow, I should have just left earlier because, wow, the kids are just doing so well, you know, and, you know, so that was something that I was sticking myself with, thinking that I would be a bad mom if I were to get a divorce, because that might potentially harm my children and their future. And I didn't want to do that, you know, so I stuck it out longer than I should have. But when I finally did change the situation, it changed really beautifully and wonderfully. And, you know, everything is good. But sometimes we wonder,
and here's
why
the funny
do we just
part,
stay?
Here's the funny part of all of that for me, right? So first of all, you and I both tell people all the time, if you're using the words should, then you know that you're in judgment about something. Because you've made a decision and a judgment about the way something has to be. You've defined it somewhere in your life that could be keeping you stuck. But with that, if you talk, whether you're talking about divorce or any situation, but divorce, because that's the one that we just got on as far as the topic goes, I've worked with adults who are considering divorce. I've worked with children who are in homes that are somewhat tense or going through divorce or have just gone through divorce. And what I often hear children say, I often hear adults say, I can't do that because, you know, I need to keep the family together because it'll be better for the kids. But the kids are very often saying in therapy, when they're being honest, is, could I just absolutely, I mean, like, I would be much happier. My home would be much happier if my parents were not living together. I hate coming home. Because even though the pretending is going on, if we think that kids don't really feel the tension and know that it's there or hear the yelling or notice that mom pulls her hand away or dad's rolling his eyes, it's living in a house with hostility and disrespect and tension and frustration and nobody being happy. So what we wind up teaching our children in that situation is something that I hope to God is not something that I ever teach my daughter. I would like her to find that her happiness is a priority and that she's responsible for it. And, you know, but that's not where we come from. We come from this place where we're told, you know, marriage is sacred, and I don't have a feeling different than that. But so is our lives, and so are so many other components that we need to take into consideration. And one of the other things would be, you know, like, look at the whole entire picture. Well, people stayed married forever. They stayed married forever. They were dead at 50. You know, no, they weren't living to 100 years old and having 50-year anniversaries. That wasn't the case. Relationships are quite a bit different when you're adding in another 5 decades of staying together, right? Yeah. So there's so many things that, so the question is, so at some point we have to look at, where do these rules come from? And why are we being so hard on ourselves? And what are we holding on to, right? And just one more thing on that note, because I'd like people to think about it during break. When I was working with, I came up with this when I was working with one particular person. And this one person was really focused, knew exactly what he wanted to do as far as creating or changing his life, didn't really know what it would look like. And the not knowing what it would look like was horrifying to him. So just knew that he hated his life every single day, hated his life, just, you know, with a passion, I would literally say. So took many steps in order to separate himself from his life, and that involves getting, you know, getting separated, getting a divorce, moving forward. You know, he waited until his children were out of the home because he didn't really want it to impact his children in that way. So now he's already given up a lot of the years of happiness as far as, like, and his perspective being shared in that particular situation. And then what wound up happening is, you know, at some point when it was getting close to the divorce, it was sort of, I don't know. He decided not to do it, begged his wife to take him back. And that's all fine and well. You can do that. There's no judgment there. But when we talked about it as far as in session goes, the session went sort of like, well, I didn't know what it would look like without her. So it was sort of, I worked really hard to get rid of what I don't want, but I can't let it go because it's what I know. right? And it's this comfort and this fear of the unknown that we convince ourselves that becomes more scary. So I've heard people say things like, well, it's better to dance with the devil that you know than the one that you don't, right? And these are stories that we tell ourselves that keep us staying in resistance to choosing the things that would really make our life lessons, if you want to say, a lot easier for us if we could really look at what the struggle is, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, we're going to talk about this and a lot more when we come back. We're going to go into break in just a moment. But I love this part, especially, Donna, about the unknown, the fear of the unknown, and, you know, shrinking back from the unknown. And, you know, we've all done that in the past, but I know for myself in the past 6-7 years, it's been the opposite. I have been following the unknown, and it's been wonderful. So we'll talk about, you know, that as being a life lesson in itself. Like, what do you do? How do you do it? And, you know, what do you do when you don't feel safe, you know, in that way of not knowing what's going on? So we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about more tools that we can use in our daily lives when we are going through some sort of lesson, life lesson, when we come back here on Living with Moxie.
Yep, that's great. I would love to talk about the tools. Thank you. So we'll be back just shortly right after these messages.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, join us, Lisa Berry and Michelle Carter, every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for the Mindset Makeover, What's Possible? Get ready to become present, clear and unstuck, and start living fully, led by your heart, while you listen and feel this transformation through vibration of word, sound, and song. You'll open up to what's possible and experience your shift.
People are always looking to invest in a good opportunity. So what if you could invest in the future of kids, like a stock? Not the kind of stock that's about making money, but a stock for social change, called Better Futures. With your investment, it helps students like me go to college. My name is Charles, and I'm your dividend.
Invest in better futures with UNCF. Visit uncf.org/invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everybody, and
hello,
thank
everyone.
You for staying with
We're
us.
Back.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, you know, this is such an interesting topic, especially, you know, talking about the practical tools that we can use right now if we're going through something challenging, right? And so, you know, in the past couple of years, when I was talking earlier about, you know, going into the unknown, not knowing what the future held, but just following my guidance and my knowing as to what was right for me, some of the things that I used, you know, were questions, you know, questions based on, really simple, but basically, what do I really want for myself? If I had no limitations, no restrictions, anything like that, what do I truly want for myself? And asking that question for the first time, sometimes, you know, is so liberating, you know, and it's also a little bit challenging because people are not used to asking that of themselves. What do I really want? And then looking at your life, looking at situations and saying, do I really want this? No. Okay. What else do I want? Right. So it's not about judging the situation, judging the event, judging the circumstance. It's just saying, okay, I don't like this for whatever reason. What else do I want? Right. So what else is possible for me? What else can I create in my life? Because we are constantly creating every single moment we are creating our lives. Right. So what can we create? And being open to situations and people and circumstances that are kind of are going to be placed in our path so that we can see, okay, is this what we want? Right. So always, you know, people talk about the phrase being in the question, you know, which I didn't always get until now. Now it's like, yeah, it's about being in the question, being open to different possibilities. Right. And not judging where we are, but just saying, okay, this is where I am right now. I would rather have this. Now figuring out how to get there or what can I do to get there? You know, like what else is possible for me? So, Donna, what do you think about questions such as what do I really want? And because, you know, that's what I did. I asked myself, what do I really want? What makes me feel good? You know, and what inspires me and how do I want to express myself and what do I want to experience in life? And I've started choosing based on those questions and what makes me feel good. And since then, I have to say my life has completely turned around. I mean, changed completely. What do you think?
I think that there's definitely, those are all things that I do and I believe in doing. And I ask questions all day long. And, you know, I think that they create so much as far as being in the question. And the way I used to explain it to my clients or when I'm speaking, the most concrete, easy, tangible way for me to give someone an example of that is when I teach, I haven't done one in a long time, but a class related to, it was if money was your lover, would you still be having sex? Was the name of the class that I used to do. It was about 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And basically, what I used to say to them is, you know, if we really look at it, relationships and our money flows are often very much connected. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is I would say to them, you know, if I have somebody who comes into my office and they say, Donna, there's nothing that I can do about my money. I'm done. There's, you know, and they put their stuff on the desk and they're frustrated and they're finished. It's hard to take that someplace versus somebody who comes into your office and says, you know what? I don't know what's going on with my money situation. It's kind of really been stinky for the last few years. And what else is possible? And even if you just listen to those two components of the conversation and you know nothing about energy, you can totally get mm-hmm. that one is going to change and move in one direction while the other one might be stuck for a while. And that one Absolutely. Was a decision and a closed door, and one was a question yep. which opens the door. So those are the – I mean, that was a very tangible way that would help my clients see the power in a question. It's a very powerful tool using a question. It really does open it up for the universe, for people, for anyone to show you the resources and the possibilities that are available. And I think what comes after that, or maybe even before that, is trust and faith, which is the hardest thing mm-hmm. for a lot of people to have nowadays because we're very big on show it to me, show it to me, show it to me, show it to me. So I have some tools for people to teach it to themselves a little bit so that they can have it again if they feel like they've lost it. Because God knows that about 5 years ago, I definitely lost it. And it probably wasn't the only time in my life that I felt like I lost it. But we do. We sometimes we lose our faith or our trust sometimes. We lose our way sometimes. And then refinding it or finding it again is sort of important. We could ask all the questions that we want if we don't trust and have faith in the fact that the universe or that the answers are going to come to us somehow. It becomes sort of pointless because you're in resistance to receiving the awareness anyway. So without the appreciation, the trust, and the faith, you know, that shifts some things a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And I remember Wayne Dyer once saying, you know, show it to me and I'll believe, let me see it and I'll believe it. And he would say, no, believe it and you'll see it. And belief comes first.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And that's a tough one sometimes, you know, believing first.
Yep. It is. So, you know, I have some great tools for that, which is not really what the conversation I expected us to go. But what I have found in my life is that whenever I lose faith or I lose trust in some way, you know, you look at the children around you and they are so filled with wonder and automatic belief and trust and knowing, right? I think it was on a different radio interview I did. I can't remember. No, it was me, you, and Cass Thomas when Cass was on the show. And I said, you know, I'll say something. My daughter will ask for something, and it shows up almost instantaneously. And I'll say to her, you are an incredible creator. She said, I know. You know, and she'll tell you, all I have to do is ask, and it'll be here. I know it will. She has no doubt. Like, there's no doubt. So, you know, we were sitting in San Francisco one day, and Gary Douglas did a component on creating money, right? And she played with the tools literally 5 seconds as we were getting ready to go to lunch, and we were walking with somebody. And she said, I think she was doing, I don't want money, but she's being very silly because, you know, we did the whole want and don't want thing. I can't remember if those are the words or if it was a different tool, but she was using one of the tools. We walked to the elevator. As we go and hit the elevator button, one of the women who's in the class is a beautiful soul, literally looked at my daughter and said, you are so adorable. If I give you $1, will you give me a kiss? And Gianna looked at me with this smile and these eyes so bright, because exactly what Gary just told her was going to happen happened just for smiling and giving someone a kiss. She got $1 just for being her, just for just for doing that. And it happened in less than 3 minutes. Like, she said it was going to happen, she made it happen, and then people started paying her just for pushing the elevator button for them. Like, it just became a funny thing, and everybody started cracking up, and they're like, could you bring me to, you know, floor 3? And she, you know, she comes home with $20 and then whatever that was, but she made money, and it was just because she heard it, she did it, she believed it, she had no doubt in her mind, and people just started giving it to her for, like, nothing. So, that was the belief. And when you watch kids, kids don't doubt it. So that also helps you remember. Good.
So, you know, like, when and where did we start to unbelieve, right? So it's interesting how as children, we, you know, we had wonderful, great imagination. We were very creative. We were very playful, you know, full of energy, lots of energy. And then as we've grown older, we've kind of lost that along the way. But how can we now go back to create more of that magic in our lives? Because that is magical. You know, how can we go back to believing that we can create our lives the way that we would like, right?
So that is one way. And then when I'm working with my clients, and it's more specifically in like the class that I do and tapping in, and some of the classes that you and I are going to be doing moving forward for our, you know, our own times learning, you know, Learn It Live stuff and our own Moxie Media House. One of the things that I ask people to do is in the morning, you know, take a few minutes to connect with yourself and ask the universe for something really simple to show up. You know, and that could be, show me, you know, bring me some, show me some, I want to know what it feels like to receive. I want to receive something that make me smile. I want to feel fun today. I want to feel clarity. I want to see a sign from my father, and that might be, you know, a white feather or something along those lines. And it'll be a sign that only you know. I want to see 5555 on every, you know, as many license plates as possible today. And then as you see it, you know, just go, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'll have more of that. And giggle, because it is so much fun to do that. Anytime my daughter and I take a trip that's over 20 minutes, we do it before we walk out the door so that we can have a blast in the car. But it just reminds you of the magic that's possible and how powerful of a creator that you are. And you start with those simple things, because if you started with $1 million, you would have so much doubt and frustration and belief and looking for it everywhere and showing that it's not going to show up, that that would be harder. So you start with the stuff that's a little bit easier, and then before you know it, you're online in Starbucks and somebody buys you or treats you to a cup of coffee, or you're driving through a toll booth and somebody, you know, pays for the toll booth, and you get there and you're going through is free, and you go, oh my God, you know, look at this. And every day it gets better and better and more magical and magical. Just set your day that way. And you start to see it, and then you remind yourself that you can believe, because you're giving yourself proof every day. So that's one of the more.
I love that. And that's
yeah. It's
yeah,
fun.
It's simple, practical, and it's fun. You know, I love that. So I think that's something that we can all do, you know, starting right now. And yeah, like you said, start with something small, start with something easy, start with something playful, right? And feel the energy of that as you move forward. And then that will give you the confidence per se, or the reassurance that, yeah, you know, you are a creator, you are a manifester, and how it's starting to show up. And you'll see that the universe is responding to you when you do that. So that's genius. That's beautiful. I love it. And it's so easy and so much more fun than just, you know, asking for $1 million to show up today. It's like, mm-hmm. Because as I'm saying it, it's like, yeah, really? How? You know, how is the universe going to pull that off in, you know, like yeah, right away?
And I have another sure, one that but... we can give after the break. That takes a little bit more time, but it's, you know, we can talk mm-hmm. about that one after the break. This one is just so much fun. And, you know, in my 30 days of deliberate creation program, that I asked them to do that. You know, what are some things you want to see yourself show up? And we start with some simple things. And it was just sort of, you know, one of my favorite colors is purple. When I think of my father, I always think of the ocean. And I think you were part of that group too. Like, you were in there with me when we were doing it. But my daughter and I came home from a trip to the Hamptons one day, and there was this little purple seashell on my living room floor. Now, the thing was the size of my fingernail, and it didn't come from us. It was sitting in my living room when we walked in the door. Where the heck did a little purple seashell? So purple, my favorite shell, and a seashell, which reminded me of my dad, sitting there in my living room. And it's sort of like, well, where did that come from? And it's not the most common color, so I took a picture of it so that I can have it always and remind me that even something that strange, I don't live on the beach, you know, like where did it show up from? It's just sort of, it was magical. And those are things that you never forget. And you make sure you don't forget Absolutely. Them so that you can keep that magic and that faith with you. And those are all things that then do help you really get through to the questions. So we'll be right back to give you more tools right after these messages.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
Want to know some fun facts about colonoscopies? Colon cancer is 90% preventable. A colonoscopy can detect and prevent colon cancer in one fell swoop. But here's a not-so-fun fact. Lots of people are so uncomfortable even talking about a colonoscopy that they never get one. If you're 50 or 45 for African Americans, get screened now. Maybe even earlier if you have a family history. To schedule a screening today, visit StopColonCancerNow.com.
Everyone, we are back on Living with Moxie, and we're talking about life lessons and what to do with them. So we've been sharing some tools that we can start to use in our day-to-day lives when we are being challenged sometimes, or just, you know, regularly, to have fun and to create more and to see that we can create, believe in our creations, our creative capacities, and know that something else is possible, right? So we're going to talk a little bit more about some tools. So one of the things, you know, that I like to do as well is writing down stuff, you know, like, what do I really want? I don't know. I'm stuck on that one. It's like, for me, that is so important. What do I really want? But it's also about, let me see. I was just thinking, you know, I had a thought earlier today about our apartment. We just got an apartment. We got the keys today, and so we started moving in a few things, and it's like, there's nothing in there, right, yet, but the space is beautiful. It's, you know, light and airy, and I love it, and it's like, okay, so now we need to buy some furniture, get some furniture, move some stuff in. Don't know how it's going to look yet, but it's like, you know what, we'll just start one step at a time. And so I think that's what I want to talk about taking one step at a time, not knowing the end result, but what's the next step that I need to take? And even asking that question of the universe, what's the next step I need to take, you know, and being open to whatever that happens to be. And I think that's one of the things that we sometimes don't feel comfortable with, is that being open to whatever it is, because it's the unknown. So again, we're talking about the unknown, but having the trust and faith and the grace of following that unknown and knowing it'll be okay. So, you know, I'm going through a fairly, not difficult time, but, you know, it's a bit challenging with the unknown, right? But it's like, you know what, I'm just going to follow it. Somehow or other, it will all work out. But it's about talking to the universe, asking for support, asking for help. And when I say the universe, I mean, you know, even your friends, your, you know, family, your support team, your guides and your angels, asking for that help, you know, so that you know that, you know, they're there to support you in whatever way that you need. But it's sometimes it looks different than you think it's going to. So we have to let go of that concept of control or that fixed outcome, or, you know, we have to start to expand our minds a little bit. Or just let whatever shows up, show up, because it's going to be totally different than what we could even imagine sometimes, right? Or sometimes our own thinking is limited by what we've seen and done before. Right, Donna?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, to answer one of your questions, aside from the fact that sometimes you get disappointed or hurt, whatever that may be in your life, when you said, you know, how do we even get to the point where we sort of lose the faith? I think that one of the things that also happens is... it's this idea, is, as you know, the beliefs that we agree to or decide or commit to when we're growing up, is we make a lot of rules, the shoulds, the have to be's, that keep us from the willingness to be in wonder as you are as a kid, where you don't feel like you have to predict and control every single moment, and you're willing to sort of go with the flow, per se, to this place where then you go from that to feeling like you need to control every minute so that you can create the exact outcome because it has to be the way that you want it. And some of that, I think, is school-related, relationship-related, get serious, get focused on your future, you know, all of the things that you learn, which, ironically, what I found in working with people all over the world is by the time you're hitting about 35 or 40 years old, you're putting a lot of effort into unlearning all of that because you realize that maybe that's not quite necessary. And yet, you know, so it's sort of an interesting component. But I see it happening, you know, as throughout our lives in stages, as far as that goes. And when you listen to kids, they don't have that. I mean, they can literally go from, you know, oh, a butterfly, to, oh, let's go run and play Marco Polo, to, oh, let's go in the pool. Okay, we could do that. And it's not just sort of, it's just a going with the flow. So there's a wonder. I wonder what would happen if I felt that, you know, squishy thing in between my fingers, or I wonder what's going to happen if I do this. And as we get older, we're not willing to wonder. And so, like, we're not willing to go with the unknown. We're not willing to explore. And I think sometimes that creates a bit of some bumpy roads for us, because we become too definitive and concrete, and we don't allow our life to flow the way that it could if we let go a little bit and we trusted. Does that make sense?
It does, absolutely. And, you know, so that's one of my catchphrases all the time, is just go with the flow, you know, go with the flow. Sometimes we don't know what that flow is, but just go with it. So one of the things, you know, how we're talking about creativity, imagination, that being in the flow when we were children, that we sometimes lose as adults. One of the tools that I like to use and share with my clients is about asking them to write about, you know, an ideal day. You know, what is their most perfect day? What would that feel like? What would that look like? Just to get them to start to think outside the box, outside of where they are right now. And it starts to create a feeling or energy in them of more of what they would like to have that they don't. And then they can see the difference, the contrast between where they are now and where would they would truly rather be. And then they can start to take steps and make different choices so that they can start to experience that. What do you think?
Have you ever done that? Yes, I have. And what I do, yes, I have definitely done something like that. And what I do for me now is I will write about the energy of what I want my life to feel like. Because for me, mm-hmm. if I go the other way, I tend to focus so much on details and then I get stuck in the detail. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be stuck on the detail. I want to know that I want to describe the delicious energy of what I want my life to feel and be like. And if it's going to feel and be like that, it doesn't matter what it's going to look like. I'm going to be thrilled. So, mm-hmm. So that's sort of what following the energy, you know, I remember, somebody saying when I was taking a class, you take some of these spiritual classes, they were making fun, and it was a spiritual type class. And people say, you know, oh, well, I couldn't make it today. I was following the energy and it led me somewhere else or something like that. It's like, and that's not really what following the energy means. Like following the energy is knowing what you want the energy of your life to feel like. And then when something mm-hmm. shows up that matches that vibration, you follow that, right? So I write more now about what I would like it to feel like, more than the details of, ooh, I want the home on the ocean and, you know, all the windows around. And I, you know, I do have some of those details as far as I might not necessarily even know the location, but I know, you know, the scents, the smells, some of the things that feel mm-hmm. really good to me and yummy. So yeah, I do. I do it that way, but I do the writing. That was Bentley saying.
And maybe it's a combination of the two, right? Because not everyone understands about feelings and energy, right? So they're more mental based, and you know, so it's a starting point at least for some people to get them started to, you know, imagine something different, right?
Yeah, and what I say is, you know, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to even think about the energy. I choose words. So I like to feel mm-hmm. fun. I like to feel clarity. I like to feel joy. I want to feel, you know, home. I want to feel comfortable. Yeah. I want to feel love, you know, kindness, you know, that kind of stuff. So that's what I meant when I said sort of feeling the energies of something, because each of those words have a vibration. I just want to say, switching topics for 1 second, Shefali, just for all of our listeners here, that on Sunday night I'm going to be doing a free class on tapping in, which is an introduction to really your intuition. So I created the class so that it could be good for anyone who wants to know about intuition on any level, meaning even if you're a psychic card reader, this is going to be, or a medium or whatever, there's components in this class that will still help you enhance your knowing. Take it to another level as far as that goes. And if you really are, you know, my old roommate used to say to me, I don't have a gut. I'm a chicken. Like, don't ask me to know my gut feeling, because I used to say, what's your gut feeling? So it's going to cover the gamut of what does it really feel like? What is it to you? What does intuition mean? And how is it useful? Because to me, it's literally like the GPS system that we've all learned to rely on in a car. You know, like, it's just, if you know how to use it in order to get you where you want to go, you will have a lot more ease in getting there. It doesn't mean it's going to be perfect, but you will definitely have a lot more ease in getting there. So that class will be 7 o'clock on Sunday evening, and that's Eastern Standard Time. And you can go to Learn It Live. Is that Om Time, Om Learn It Live, or Om Times Learn It Live.com? But you can see it on our Moxie Media Facebook page and on my Beyond a Moment in Time page, and it's there. We have it all over Facebook, so it's available. Would love to see you there, and it's free, so you could do it in your pajamas in your own home. So mm-hmm. there you go. Thanks.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
That one thing. Yeah, I'm excited. Well, thanks to you, because I had to get over the, I can't do this class first. So
yeah, it's easy. You'll do great. And, you know, and the thing with tapping into your intuition, that's a resource or a tool that you can continue to use forever, you know, and that's going to help you sometimes to make decisions, sometimes to make different choices or be aware of different choices. So I'm looking forward to it. I will try to be there. I know this is going to be like 1 o'clock in the morning for me.
Oh my God. You need to get some sleep, young lady. You need to get some sleep. I don't know if it's being recorded, but I'm going to share it with you.
It will be. It'll be recorded.
This is going to be recorded. Okay, so it'll be recorded, so you can see it when you wake up, right?
There
you go. So we're very excited about that, because Shefali and I have been working on, for all of you, lots of classes, and Om Times has been really, you know, getting involved in building up the Learn It Live community, so all of the Om Times experts can actually offer classes, and they're offering classes on everything. I think they've got some on energy healing classes and all sorts of information, whatever the topic may be. I'm sure there's a class there for you, so you might want to check it out, omtimeslearnitlive.com. And if that's the wrong one when you Google it, I'm sure you'll be led to the right place. So we're developing all sorts of classes for that, as well as for Moxie Media House and getting published. And so that's at www.moxiemediahouse.com. You'll start seeing lots of classes and information coming out for a couple of books that will be coming soon. We're very excited, and we hope that you'll be there with us. But I totally took us off track. So you want to bring us to a close here?
Well, you know, off track a little bit, but it's still about you know, what to do with, you know, life lessons and what to do with them and creating, right? It's about creation. So create your life, right? So thank you, everyone.
Yep. We'll see you next time.
We'll see you next week. Okay. Bye for now.
Thanks, everybody. Bye for now.